Hello and welcome to another episode of the Spodcasters. Joined by Tom Keegan, I'm Matt Tate, and we're going to talk some Kansas basketball right now. And instead of dwelling, Tom, on this horrible loss in Stillwater, Oklahoma, where KU played about as poorly as they could play and deserved what they got, we're going to look ahead. We're just going to look ahead. Forget it. That's all we'll say about that game. Maybe. Probably. But we're going to look ahead. And the reason we're going to look ahead is because KU has another big game right around the corner. Saturday, Texas comes to Allen Fieldhouse. And that's big all the time. Texas is Texas. It's always exciting. But does it get more exciting than this? Shaka Smart coming to Allen Fieldhouse? I cannot wait.
Yes, it gets more exciting.
It does?
Buddy Hield coming to Allen Fieldhouse, that's already happened. Yeah, that's more exciting. When West Virginia comes, that's more exciting.
February 9th is the date of that one.
February 9th, yeah. You know that offhand. That's great.
I remember because when they lost out there, it seemed like that all of a sudden became a date to circle, you know.
Well, you know what's funny about, you mentioned Shaka Smart, the game that came to mind with me last night as I saw Kansas helping off, and dropping off shooters to help out and not getting back to them on time, it reminded me of the VCU game when some guys who are good three-point shooters had three-point shots, but then other guys who aren't normally three-point threats were making them, and that was what happened last night with Oklahoma State as well. And it reminded me of that VCU game a little bit. So, and I'll tell you one other thing that reminds me of that Oklahoma State game. I know we're not talking about it.
No, we're not.
Is that obviously Evans, Juwan Evans, the freshman, just does a terrific job at getting to the paint. And the guy he kind of reminds me of, although I think he's even better, he reminds me of Isaiah Taylor.
Sure.
And I think Evans is already better than Taylor, but
Taylor's
really good at getting to the paint.
I love Taylor, and that's high praise if you think Evans is already there. He's obviously fantastic and had his way with KU in a lot of ways. He'll have his way with a lot of people, though. I mean, he's definitely...
He had 42 against Oklahoma.
Sure. There you go. Say no more. So, the VCU game, that's interesting. I haven't seen a ton of Texas this year. I've tried to catch them when they've been on from time to time, but a lot of times it doesn't match up because KU's playing at the same time. So I'm very curious to see how similar Texas is to Shaka's VCU team.
Yeah.
It's just... it's going to take him some time. You know, he inherited a roster instead of building one and all those types of things. But you would think he's got good enough athletes there, and obviously Taylor's one of them. How big is this game for Kansas all of a sudden? You know, every game's big. Every home game is big. They always talk about the new cliche, and this is crazy. It's crazy how many people are saying this as if it's their own verbiage. You just got to hold serve at home. I mean, I've heard that 1,000 times already this year from different fans. Well,
that's what they say when they lose on the road and look bad in doing so, which was the case in West Virginia, which was the case in Stillwater.
And those are words right out of Bill Self's mouth.
I mean,
he says that every year. So
a great coach is going to have the players parroting him. He has an entire fan base parroting
him. It's crazy. It is.
It is.
I've heard it a ton of times already. And
the guy's got amazing communication skills.
Yeah, and they're right. I mean, that's important. And obviously they have a better advantage than anyone in this conference because their home games are the toughest to play in. I mean, for the opponent, obviously. But getting back to the original question, I mean, how big is this game all of a sudden?
I think it's huge. And Texas was playing great without Cam Ridley,
right.
And now he's out, and he's a really good player. But they're a little bit on the inconsistent side. They beat North Carolina, and they lost to Texas Tech and TCU.
Those are their only two conference losses, and that's baffling to me because those are both games they should have won. And if they did, they'd be sitting 6-0, and they'd be a real challenger all of a sudden. Even though the most difficult games,
5-0 maybe, or have they played?
I think they're 4-2, but
I
could be wrong.
Two,
yeah, maybe they are 3-2. Either way, they would have no losses.
Right.
And even though their toughest Big 12 games are definitely still ahead, having not played KU, Oklahoma, West Virginia, or Iowa State.
I believe they beat Iowa State.
Did they?
In Austin, I believe so.
Iowa State has 3 losses in the league, right?
Yep.
And, either way, we don't want to stall around.
It was 94-91 overtime.
Wow.
Could be wrong.
Wow.
I don't know.
That's pretty specific. I will go with it. But either way, let's say they didn't lose those two games, whatever it is.
Yeah.
they would be a real contender for making KU uncomfortable, which there are a lot of teams in that position right now because of the way KU's played on the road so far. So
right.
I think that this game becomes so big in that sense too. I mean, anytime you get a team at home first, it can benefit you when you have to go on the road to play them. Just look at Baylor, right? They beat Baylor by, 28 points?
Yeah.
Kansas did. So now when they go down to Baylor, they'll have a totally different mentality about how much they own that team. Whereas if they played Baylor on the road first, like they did last year, it's a little different story, you know? So
I'm going to disagree with you on that. I think you would rather play a team on the road first, so you see them at their best, and
sure.
you realize how hard it is to beat them.
West Virginia,
right,
as an example.
Whereas Baylor, you just completely
right.
destroyed Baylor at home. So
you're
those
go down
players
there thinking,
subconsciously going to have a hard time believing they can lose to Baylor.
Great point.
And you take Brandon Schneider's team, it's two totally different challenges when you have a team that rarely wins and a team that rarely loses. Bill Self has to convince his players they can lose to that team they're playing tonight.
Right,
can,
right.
Yes. Brandon Schneider has to convince his players they can win when
Interesting.
They're not winning. You
yeah.
know, it's
Which is harder? Tough question.
Yeah.
I mean, I would almost think convincing a team that they can lose is harder.
Yeah.
That's where my gut tells me.
Yeah.
I mean, because human nature is you know.
I actually thought about asking both of those questions that very question. Both of those coaches that question. Which is harder?
Do it. That'd be an awesome column.
Right.
I'd like to hear the inside. I'd like to hear your thoughts. That'd be really cool. So stick with us for the rest of this podcast, but then look forward to that column sometime soon. So let's get back to Texas, though. Obviously, the you talked about the Longhorns and their inconsistency and Ridley being out and Isaiah Taylor being terrific. This game is huge. What does Kansas need to do regardless of their opponent? It's a big game, but it would be a big game if it was Texas Tech. It would be a big game if it was Iowa State. It would be a big game no matter who was coming in here, because right now this team's in a funk, and I don't think it's panic button type of funk, but it's definitely there. Even the TCU game at home, it didn't look spectacular. It was just kind of a workmanlike, grinded-out victory.
Yeah.
But they're not really, you know, firing on all cylinders right now at all.
Definitely
so
not.
What do they need to do?
Well, here's something you would think. If you saw this right off the bat from them, it's going to be a great day. And that's right off the bat to create a lot of offense with their defense.
There you go.
You need to either get turnovers or force them into bad shots to where you can get off in transition and get some fast break buckets and some dunks, and the crowd's going absolutely ballistic.
Helps at home for sure, but on the road it does the same thing in that it neutralizes the opposing fan base.
Right.
I was shocked how easily Oklahoma State took KU out of its transition game. I just couldn't believe
it. They just looked like, Self even said it, that whole game I'm thinking, boy, they just look way more athletic
yeah.
than Kansas. And that's not something you often say about a Kansas team, but this Kansas team...
Not your typical Kansas roster.
No, it's not. It's not as quick and as just as quick. Getting the loose balls and those kind of things.
Do you think then, regardless of freshman status, regardless of, you know, not getting it yet and still making some freshman-type mistakes, do you think then that it is time? And you wrote this about Bragg, that it was time for him to just get a lot more playing time and just go. But for Bragg and Diallo, do you think it's time then to just scrap Lucas and Mickelson and that whole thing or not?
No, I think Lucas, they play better defensively when he's in there. Even though he's not quick at all, he can at least lean on a guy.
Yeah.
Lean on him, be a pest that way.
He is that.
Yeah.
And he's pretty good at it. Athletically, he leaves plenty to be desired.
And there's some plays that Diallo just does the exact opposite thing of what the situation calls for. So you continue to give Diallo opportunities, hoping that he gets better, but you don't force it to the extent of risking games. Bragg, forget about it. He's ready. He's one of their better offensive players already.
Right.
The more minutes he can get, the better. And he's the only reason he got 11 minutes last night. He got four fouls.
Four fouls. He plays a lot more without that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I think so too. So who starts? I mean, Diallo got the start after 10 in a row for Mickelson. Traylor's been in there. I mean, do you go Diallo another time just so you don't send that message of, well, you screwed up and kind of set him back a little bit again? Do you just give him another crack at it, or is it...
I think that's a possibility, and I think the other possibility is Bragg. You go Bragg and Ellis together.
Be cool.
I think it'd be very cool,
yeah.
Because Bragg has got that good mid-range
right.
jumper, and whereas he was missing shots because he was rushing and giving the defense too much credit early in the season, he's making those shots down low because he's taking his time now.
Sure.
This is a guy who knows how to play basketball.
Yeah.
6'10", legitimate 6'10", with a nice shooter's bounce. He gets on those ones that... He'll swish, or he'll get that shooter's
sure.
bounce off the rim.
He looks pretty poised right now, too. I mean, nothing, you know,
yeah.
he's always got that smile on his face. I think he'll have that the rest of his life. That's just him.
And he's got quick hands.
But, yeah, I think he seems to be under control. I think you talked to him. I might be mistaken, but I think you talked to him about playing with Perry Ellis, didn't you? After a
I
game
have,
one
yeah.
time. What do you remember what he said? I mean.
He loves it. You know,
yeah.
the high-low, he loves either end of it. You know, he can pass to
right.
Perry, or Perry can pass to him. They're both good passers.
Yeah, it that'd be really interesting. And, I mean, Diallo's energy was decent the other night in a starting role.
Yeah.
In some ways, maybe too much energy, which I don't know if you can
when
have
he
that.
Withdrew right out of bounds, so he, instead of the play was to step up and stop the guy who wasn't his man, and he just backed up as if he was going to be called for a charge or something. Before the guy even made a move, he
Weird.
Backed up. All the way out of bounds. He just didn't know what to do, and he kind of panicked.
Overthinking, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's bizarre. My favorite was right out of the gate when he, you know, they threw the ball to him inside. He went up strong, and he got
yep.
fouled, and the shot didn't go in. He went to the free throw line. But
missed them both.
After he got fouled, he pumped his fist.
Yeah.
I've never seen a guy pump his fist for getting fouled.
Right.
I mean, it was a little, you love the energy, and that's who
yeah.
he is, and that's what he brings, but it was a little bit, like I said, maybe a little too much. That also needs to be reeled in just a little
well,
bit.
Well, he just doesn't know.
Right.
I mean, he hasn't played a lot of basketball.
And he's just trying to find a way to contribute. I think
yeah.
that's what he was thinking.
And there was another time, and, you know, he's just inexperienced, but another time, and I forget who had the ball, whether it was... It was Graham. And Diallo points up with his finger like, throw me the alley-oop. But there was a guy right there with him. It wasn't the time to, and there was no play where that guy was going to be drawn away as a help defender.
Well, probably what he was thinking was the guy didn't see him point, you know. So he was thinking he was being real smooth, and then it would catch him off guard. Oh, the poor kid.
Think you're pretty smooth, too, but that's just in general.
Yeah, well, you know, it just comes with the territory,
the
I
cologne.
Guess. it's rough to watch him.
It's interesting how cologne skipped a generation.
You said that before.
Yeah, my father wore it. My son, at least one of my three sons, wears it. My age, my brothers and I, we never wore it.
Pretty sure my dad never did either.
That'd be a good safe bet.
I also used to buy my dad ties. Those were a bad Christmas gift for him. I don't think he's ever had a tie in his life. Maybe once, but yeah.
It was a Jerry Garcia tie.
Yeah, right. It was always something psychedelic, you know, tried to know my audience, but I forgot the idea of the tie would have to go on the sleeveless shirt. It doesn't really look good.
He probably used it to blow his nose.
Yeah, you never know. All right, well, Kansas, Texas, big game for KU to not only hold serve at home, but also get back on track. And they need it because Monday night they go up to Ames, and that's a quick turnaround, one of those, you know, Saturday-Monday turnarounds.
Yeah.
And that game all of a sudden becomes huge, too. It's on the road, and obviously if they don't go play well there, then you're talking about three games on the road in a row where that's time to panic a little bit.
A little bit, and it might be even time to install a zone if Monte Morris carves them apart after Isaiah Taylor carves them apart after Juwan Evans carved them apart. So,
yeah, if there's one thing this league has besides just talented teams top to bottom, it's point guards, man.
Right.
I mean, they can, there's a lot of teams that can get to the rim off the bounce, and yeah, if KU can't figure out a way to guard better in the half court man to man, and I don't know that that's something you just figure out, you know, I know Self talks about that all the time. We just have to get better. It might be too late for that. You know, you do that in the off season, and yeah, you can work on it, but I don't know that it's just, you know, snap your fingers and it happens. I think that...
There are some tangible reasons.
Definitely, definitely.
And the tangibles that this team does not have is great deal of lateral quickness.
Yep.
So then you try to figure out ways to camouflage it beyond just shooting well.
Right. And what does this team have? It has athletes. It has length.
Well, athletes. Let's talk about athletes. There's different ways to look at the word athletic.
Right.
Do you mean they jump high? Yes, they jump high.
They jump high. They run fast. Yeah.
But they don't move laterally that quickly.
No, I agree with that. But in terms of just good on their feet, moving.
Not as good on their feet as Oklahoma State was.
No way.
So
yeah.
They don't have great athletes for a Kansas team by Kansas standards. I think they have more skill than a lot of self teams.
Sure.
But not the athleticism of a typical self team. And Diallo would be the exception.
And Bragg.
To Bragg in terms of, Diallo is the exception in both areas. He's not.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
A real basketball player, but he's a great athlete.
Yeah. And you could go up and down the lineup. I mean, Wayne Seldon doesn't move real well laterally.
Right.
Brandon Green certainly doesn't. And then I think that's why Svi has been playing so much. He does move pretty well. He's just still in that kind of shell, I think, out there.
He moves better laterally than...
Than most guys,
but not even great either.
He's faster
running the floor than he is moving laterally. And his shot looks beautiful, except that it doesn't go in.
It's unbelievable. Yeah, it is. They
set him up for a lot of open shots last night. He made 1 out of 5 threes.
Wow. Yeah.
And those 2 threes he missed the end of the first half were big.
Yeah. Well, I think you can see him work defensively. And that's one thing
that he understands.
Yeah. Exactly. So even if he's not that good moving laterally, which he's not.
And he's not horrible.
He's grinding.
Yeah.
You can see him trying to
right.
do it. And
he's 18.
That's worth something for sure. So big weekend. Shaka Smart comes to town. You fired up about that real quick before we get out of here? I mean, just seeing Shaka in Allen Fieldhouse. He's been the hot name in coaching for so long. He's been a guy whose name was tied to every big-time job that came open the last 4 years or so. I think it's going to be really cool. I know I was super excited when Texas hired him because of that.
Well, you do look a lot alike, too. I mean, from the side, you guys could pass for each other.
Yeah, that's too bad for him. I mean, or maybe too bad for me. I don't know. Lucky for him. Is that what I should have said?
This is what's called false humility at its finest.
Well, I've heard that. You've said that. You've even posted it on Facebook, the side-by-side comparison of the two of us. Some people buy it. Some people don't. I'll give it to you, though. But he's a heck of a better basketball coach than I am. I promise you that.
Heck of a better.
Yeah. But I am fired up to see him. I think it's going to be cool. He's just one of those, I don't want to call him iconic yet because he's not to that level, but, he stands out.
How many regular season titles did he win at VCU?
That's a good question. I think it was 5, 6 maybe.
I don't know if he won any.
Oh, really?
I don't know. Wow. We'll have to look that up.
Yeah, we should because I thought he had a nice little run going.
Let's look that up.
Yeah, we will.
And maybe we could put a comment under the...
podcast here?
Yeah. See how many conference titles... See what I'm getting at? If you have a tournament run and you go to the Final Four,
people elevate
your reputation is stamped.
Yep.
You're a great coach.
Yep. You don't think he is?
Let's find out. I don't know.
But just how about...
He was a great hire because...
Energy.
His profile, too. And he's great with the kids.
No doubt about it.
He really develops strong relationships, and that'll help you build a program by recruiting.
No doubt about
it. But how many regular season titles did he win?
But... How many has Bill Self won?
A ton.
Sure.
Exactly.
Is that why he's a great coach, though?
Yeah, that's part of the
part
reason.
Part of it. Okay.
Yeah, big part of it.
I'll give you that. But maybe these fans and whatnot are getting, the regular season titles don't mean as much anymore because of the postseason failures, correct?
Postseason, he's...
Is that unfair, though?
Postseason, he hasn't had many failures. He just had the two... The Bradley Bucknell, and then these last 2 years.
Yeah, that's true.
So now if it were to happen again this year, but his postseason record is excellent as far as getting to Elite Eights.
Yeah, no doubt about that. No doubt about that. By no means am I trying to say he's not a good coach.
Winning percentage.
He's a fantastic coach,
for sure.
I just think that's another podcast we could have down the road, the debate of regular season success versus postseason success. And in Shaka's case, it's probably more appropriate to talk about self's great any way you slice him. There's just no way.
That doesn't mean he's invincible. I think he's being a little stubborn with the not playing his own, and I think we may see that stubbornness melt.
It needs to, I think more than any team he's had at Kansas, he needs to show he can adjust to his personnel.
Yeah.
And again, this is his personnel. It is.
Yeah, I mean, he recruited this roster. The GM hasn't been as good to self the coach as in some stretches because of this team. I mean, you're not going to, you're choosing from among Traylor, Lucas, Mickelson, and a very, very raw Sheck Diallo. And Bragg, I think, is more of a Perry Ellis type.
Right.
But there aren't many teams where his choices have been that.
Right, yeah. And it's rare when it's such a difficult choice 20 games into the season, too.
Yeah.
Usually by now, even if it's not the four best options, well, one of them has emerged, or he's settled on one, or just...
It's not like we're dealing with an indecisive individual.
No,
in Bill
no, not at all.
He can make decisions.
Yeah, it's just the hardest one he's had in his career.
Well, the players haven't made the decision for him.
That's exactly the right way to put it. So, KU Texas, Saturday afternoon at Allen Fieldhouse. It's also a big recruiting weekend for football. David Beatty and company have a few guys coming in for that one, and there's a couple stories online about the remaining targets in that class right now. KU's got about five spots left to fill up before February 3rd, so big day at Allen Fieldhouse for both of KU's biggest programs. We will be there, of course, with all your coverage, and we'll have plenty more podcasts coming up after Shaka Smart comes to the Fieldhouse. In case you didn't know, I'm fired up. Tom, not so much. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Spodcasters. We'll talk to you guys next time.